Okay, the mizmor that we're going to be looking at today is of a different type than the ones we've seen until now. Well, I'm trying to, in the few shiurim I have with you on this, I'm trying to show you different types of mizmorim. All the ones we saw until now, what did we see? We saw Tzadi Vav and Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav, and we saw Mem Bet and Mem Gimel. And all of those, in some way or another, can be placed at a certain time in history. In different ways. Tzadi Vav speaks about the future, right? Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav actually discuss historical events. Yetziat Mitzrayim, the things that happened afterwards. Mem Bet and Mem Gimel, which we looked at last time, we said it's not clear exactly when they were written, but it refers to a certain state of being, Galut, and maybe we can pin it into one or a different time in history, and even if you can't, it relates to that fact. The Mizmor we're going to look at today is universal, can be said at any point, by anybody, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't refer to any specific event, or to any specific... It doesn't have anything to do, really, with what's going on in the world, or in a nation, or in a person's life. It's just looking at existence, I guess, from a certain point of view. This mizmor is familiar to us from where? Pesukei Dezimra of Shabbat. Plus the last pasuk we recite also in, the last pasuk was the pasuk that David used as the, or wrote as the culmination of this mizmor, is also used by Anshei Knesset HaGdola as the culmination of Tefillat Shmoneh Esrei, right? This one we have to look at even more than the others, sort of as poetry, and that requires a little bit of literary analysis, and I'm going to be drawing here in part. Mrs. Goldberg used Rav Elchanan Samet's writings with you, I think she said, right? Okay, so he has this book.
And
oh, that's someone else, right. Okay, I'm just saying, so he has this book here that I'm going to be using some of his ideas in this perek as well. By the way, next class, Bezrat Hashem, next week, we're going to learn the mizmor that we say on Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, a mizmor Kuf Zayin, which Yom Yerushalayim is next Tuesday night, Wednesday, and in the tefillot that are said in religious Zionist circles, you say it both on Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim, and it's very, very appropriate after the fact that it seems almost as if it was written for these events, which is part of what makes Tehillim amazing. And perhaps prophetic, and so that'll be Bezrat Hashem Monday's shiur. Okay, so let's look at this mizmor. As in the other, let's just read through it first. And the first question is, what's it talking about? Okay, so here I will read it. Please read on with me. Lametzeach mizmor leDavid, Hashemayim misaprim kvod el umaaseh yadav magid harakia, yom liyom yabia omer velaila lelaila yichave daat, ein omer v'ein dvarim. בלי נשמע קולם, בכל הארץ יצא קבם ובקצה תבל מליהם, לשמש שם אוהל בהם. והוא כחתן יוצא מחופתו, יסיס כגיבור לרוץ אורח, מקצה השמיים מוצאו, ותקופתו על קצותם, ואין נסתר מחמתו. תורת אדוני תמימה משיבת נפש, עדות אדוני נאמנה מחכימת פתי, פיקודי אדוני ישרים מסמכי לב, מצוות אדוני ברא מאירת עיניים, יראת אדוני טהורה עומדת לעד, משפטי אדוני אמת צדקו יחדיו, הנחמדים מזהב ומפז רב, ומתוקים מדבש ונופת צופים. גם עבדך נזהר בהם, בשומרם עקב רב, שגיאות מי יבין מנסתרות נקני, גם מזידים חסוך עבדך, אל ימשלו בי אז איתם, וניקיתי מפשע רב. יהיו לרצון עם רפי והגיון מבי לפניך, Adonai Tzuri V'Goali. What's the subject here? What's the topic? What are we talking about?
Torah.
It certainly is a big focus on Torah. The Torah is referred to here by how many different terms? The word Torah is mentioned once. And yet Adina claims it's the theme of the whole parak. Why? Because it's mentioned more than once in other terms. What other words here are synonyms for the Torah or discuss aspects of the Torah? We have Torah Hashem Tmima. Eidut Hashem.
Word.
What?
Eidot.
Okay, there's an image of light. We also have Pikudei Hashem. What are Pikudim? instructions, commands, mitzvot. We have mitzvot, right? Pikudei Hashem, mitzvat Hashem. We have mishpatei Hashem, all of which refer to laws in the Torah. And perhaps Yirat Hashem maybe also refers to the Torah, and perhaps the Or. Okay, so we have at least five, probably six, maybe seven references to the Torah here. So the Torah is certainly a central theme.
All in the second half.
What?
All in the second half.
The first half talks about what?
Nature.
Right? And that begins the first problem we have in this Mizmor. Because, like many Mizmorim, there are some theories, some Parshanei Tehillim think that every single Mizmor can be divided into two halves. Certainly many of them can. And this one, clearly, where's the break? Where's the break between the two halves? Right before Torah Tashem Tmimah. It's almost as if you have two completely independent poems. Again, neither one is to be placed in a certain time or place, but they talk about two different things. The first half, okay, Lamatzeach Mizmor LeDavid is a introduction. From Pasuk Bet, Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod El, that's the koteret, that's the headline for that poem that goes until Pasuk Zayin. What does it talk about, the first half? Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod El. What does that mean? The sky, right? The heavens speak of, they tell the story of what? Kvod El, the glory of God. Umaseh Yadav Makira Rakia. What does that mean? Yocheved, could you just close the door, please? Thanks. What is Maseh Yadav Makira Rakia?
His creations tell us. I think
the Rakia tells of that which he has created. Right? This Hashamayim Misaprim. The heavens tell of his glory. And the Rakia, which is another word for the Shamayim, tells of his creations. Yom liyom yabia omer, v'layla l'layla yechaved dat. What does that mean? Day in and day out, night in and night out, every single day they do what? Yabia omer. They express themselves. Yechaved dat. They make themselves known. So who's talking here every single day and every single night? The Shamayim and the Rakia. Skip the next pasuk for a second. It continues. Bechol haaretz yatza kavam ubiktei tevel mileihem. Their milim, their words go where? From one end of the world to the other. So the sky, the heavens, this is poetic imagery, right? Nature's talking to us. By the way, in the Mizmorim we saw already, we've also seen nature talking, right? A few of the Mizmorim. Where? Where do we see nature talking? The ones we learned? In Tzadivav, we saw Yiram Hayam Umlo'o, Tevel V'yoshveva. We saw the sea talking, Neharotim Chauchav, right? And also in one we did last time, we saw the water talking in the Eretz Yarden V'chermonim. Okay, so this is a poetic image of how nature speaks. But of course, and what does it tell us? It tells us Kvod El. And tells us about Maaseh Yadav. You want to understand Hashem, you want to see what He did, you want to see His greatness, look at the world. The sky. From one end of the world to the other, the sky proclaims His glory. Except for that one very strange pasuk in the middle there. Ein omer ve'ein dvarim b'li nishma kolam. So obviously that contradicts the other pasukim, right? It tells us that the sky talks to us, and then it tells us that it doesn't talk. So the Mefarshim that I asked you to look at, how do they resolve that? Yeah?
So Rashi said that, I think that they are quiet, but man is able to get them.
Right. They speak without speaking. What does that mean? How does that work?
We.
The speech is not a speech. The speech is what happens when people are impressed by nature, and therefore it speaks without speaking. It speaks by its very existence. That's the first half of the first half. What's the second half of the first half to talk about? We pick one element in the
sun.
Right, the Mishorer here picks one element of nature, right? La Shemesh Sam Ohel Bahem. What's Bahem? Translate those words. La Shemesh Sam Ohel Bahem. For the sun. Sam Ohel Bahem. Bahem is in the Shamayim and the Rakia. Sam. He placed. Who's he?
Hashem,
right? How does the Shamayim Misaprim Kvod El? How does the Rakia Magid Maaseh Yadav, if it doesn't talk? Because he took, what's the Shamayim and the Rakia? He created this big, like, arena, right? It goes from one end of there's a sky that stretches from one end of the world to the other, and he made an ohel in it for the Shemesh. The Shemesh is the star of the show. The Shamayim doesn't talk. All the Shamayim does, and remember that word Bahem, by the way. Remember that word Bahem. Lashemesh Sam Ohel Bahem. In the Shamayim Rakia, he made this big tent, and he brings out the star of the show. And who's the star of the show?
The sun.
The sun. Vehu, who's who?
The sun.
The sun. And he, Kechatan Yotzei Mechupato. Right? Like, dum da dum. And this is what happens every morning. Every morning with great pomp and circumstance. He comes running out with, and then when a chatan leaves his chuppah, how does he feel?
Happy.
He's excited and happy. Why?
Because
he just got married. But what's so happy about getting married?
Yeah.
Right. He's starting a new life. Right? Or a new chapter in his life. So he goes out with such excitement and enthusiasm. And the image is, when does the sun do that? In the morning, right? He breaks out in the morning. Excited about the new day. Kechatan yotzei mechupato, yasis kegibor. With glory and with strength. Larutz orach. He goes off and he starts running. Where does he run, the sun?
To the other side
of the world. Right? Miktzei hashamayim motza'o. He starts at one side of the sky. Utkufato al kitzotam. And he runs all the way to the other side of the sky. Every morning the sun runs out from his, like from his dressing room, right, onto the stage of the world. Kechatan yotzei mechupato, and he runs across the entire world. This is poetry.
Oh, okay.
I understand that the astronomical reality is that the world turns. This is poetry, right? The sun is an image, okay? Okay? The sun runs out, and the sun's also not happy. Right? Okay, but this is a poetic image. We're meant to look at the sun, and we're meant to hear a message. Because although the sun doesn't move, the one who created it is moving us through it, right? Okay. So he runs from one side of the world to the other, ve'ein nistar mechamato. As the sun runs across the sky, triumphantly, with strength, and with excitement, to start his new day, and he runs from one side of the world to the other, what happens along the way? Ein nistar mechamato. What does that mean?
I think everyone sees
it. Everyone is
affected by
it. Right. Well, actually, there's a machlokim on the parshan. I don't think I put a question on here. What mechamato means? In theory, it sounds like it's heat. No, it doesn't mean anger. The word chema, which means anger, is related to the word chom or chama. When you get angry, you get heated. But here, it certainly doesn't mean anger. The question here, is it referred to the heat of the sun or to the light of the sun? Okay, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. If you look at the different mefarshim, I think, certainly the Mitzudat David that I asked you to look at, he understands it as what? Light or heat?
Heat.
And he sees a negative side to it. Right? So does Rashi. But, I didn't put a question about this, did I? I was thinking about putting a question on it. I did not. Okay, that's fine. So if you want to take a quick look, if you have Mefarshim, I'll just show you. Ve'ein nistar mechamato. Ve'ein nistar mechamato is pasuk. Eifo zeh? Pasuk zayin. Right? Right, Rashi says, Il malei natan berkiah tachton lo haya adam nistar mipana b'vnei chamimuto. If Hashem didn't shield it from us partially, we wouldn't be able to survive because it's so strong and powerful. Okay? It's talking about the heat of the sun. The Mitzudat David understands it the same way. However, I think it's the Malbim. The Malbim understands it. No, he also understands it as heat. Maybe it was the Ibn Ezra. Why can't I find it now? No, I'm sorry, the Radak. The Radak says it's the light of the sun. The sun illuminates the whole world, and nobody is barred from that. Okay, so again, we'll see whether this is a positive image or a negative one. Rashi has a negative spin on it a little bit.
Why would it randomly go negative?
Good question. Excellent question. Rav Samet makes that point. That's why he doesn't like that shot, and he argues that it must refer to the light of the sun, which is because everything else here is positive. It's a very good point, Adina. But we'll see that some of the Mefarshim take it that way, and we'll see why. Okay. Now, if the Mizmor ended here, okay, you know, some people like poetry, some people don't, and this would be a nice, short, poetic image about how the whole world, you know, proclaims God's glory. And we have, like, two parts. We have this opening part that just talks about how Shemayim is Saprim, Masei Adad Magid Rakia, they speak without speaking. And then there's, like, a focus on one element of the Shemayim and the Rakia, namely the sun, where the rest of the universe, so to speak, the sky is presented mainly as just providing a backdrop for the sun, which comes out every day, and it's like this march across the sky. And in doing so, it illuminates the whole world. Everyone gets excited or warmed up by the sun. He's coming out with all of his enthusiasm, and it sort of infects everyone. Let's take it right now with the way Adina reads it, and the way the Radak reads it, in a positive way. The sun illuminates the world. The sun lights up the world. And otherwise, the world would be dark and gloomy, but he comes out every morning all excited because he is starting his new day, and across the sky he marches, and in doing so he brightens up the world for everyone, and that is Mesaprim Kvod El. That tells the story of the one who created him.
Who says this?
The first half of Tehillim Yutet. Right? Okay. If the Mizmor ended there, we'd have this nice, short, little poetic image of the nature and the sun and how that helps you relate to Hashem. And Aviyah would really like that, and she'd go out and take a picture of a sunset or something, and she'd slap on this pasuk on her iPhone, and that's how it would be, right? Okay, yep. And she could do that. Pasuk Chet begins what appears to be a completely new Mizmor that's talking about something completely different. And it's not about nature anymore. Now it's about what? Well, maybe that's part of the link, because the first part was also about Hashem's glory, Kvod El. But here, there's no more nature. Now, what are we talking about in the next few psukim?
Torah.
Torah. Now, here also we have two halves. If we divide the second half into two halves, where are we going to divide it?
Yud-bet.
Yud-bet will be, okay, so let's read from Chet to Yud-bet. We have here, as we said before, I believe it's seven expressions. Torah, Tashem, Tmimah, Meshivat, Nafesh. Edut Hashem ne'emana machkimat peti, pikudei Hashem nisharim misamchei leiv, mitzvat Hashem bara mirat enayim, yirat Hashem Torah omeret la'ad, mishpatei Hashem enet tzadku yachdav. Six expressions. And by the way, if you're into this stuff, right, if you look at the poetic meter here, those six phrases are in a very precise format. There's always one word, then Hashem's name. So there's Torah Hashem, Edut Hashem, Pikudei Hashem, Mitzvat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, Mishpatei Hashem. Each one of them gets an adjective. So Torah Hashem is Tmima, Edut Hashem is Ne'emana, Pikudei Hashem are Yesharim, Mitzvat Hashem is Bara, Yirat Hashem is Tehora, and Mishpatei Hashem are Emet. And then there's two words of what they do. So Torah Hashem Tmima, what does it do? Mishivat Nafesh. Eidut Hashem Ne'emana, what does it do? Machkimat Peti. Right, so you have six phrases of five words in a very compact format. Six expressions referring to aspects of the Torah and relating the Torah to whose Torah is it? It's Torah Hashem, it's Pikudei Hashem, it's Mishpatei Hashem. Right? So okay, so now we have this little poem about the Torah and what the Torah does for us. It can restore our soul, it can lighten up our eyes, it can make the stupid people wise, right? Torah is like this magical thing that brings all these great things to us. And then we have the last part of the poem. The last part of the poem is also something completely different. What happens next? Let's look at the last pasukim. Well, first we have, I'm sorry, I skipped one pasuk. Hanechem adim mizahav umipaz rav umitzukim midvash venofet sufim. What does that pasuk mean?
When you do the mitzvah, you get reward.
Well, where do you see reward here? The reward comes in the next pasuk. Hanechem adim, what does it mean? Hanechem adim izahav mipaz rav.
They're more desirable than gold.
They're more desirable than gold. Umitukim mitvash v'nofet sufim, and
sweeter than honey.
Sweeter than honey. I remember.
The mitzvot?
The mitzvot in the Torah. In other words, we could take the psukim from Pasuk Chet to Pasuk Yud Aleph as one little poem about the Torah. Right? And it's a poem that's written, it's got these six expressions of five words. Torat Hashem t'milam amishivet nafesh. Eidot Hashem namana machkim apeti. Pikudei Hashem yishar misam chilev. Mitzvot Hashem bar amirat inayim. Yirat Hashem Torah amirat lad. Mishpatei Hashem emet sadku yachtav. And then the next pasuk sums that up. All those things, namely Torat Hashem, Eidot Hashem, Pikudei Hashem, Mishpatei Hashem, all those things are nechamadim izahav mipaz rav umetukim idvash v'nofet sufim. I remember one year, for a number of years, I was in the summers, I was a Rebbe on the NCSY Kollel. I taught boys for the summers. It's an interesting contrast. So I remember one year, we took a group of the boys to meet Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva at the time of the Mir Yeshiva. Okay, yeah, fair. When did you meet his wife? Okay, fair. So, you know, he was a very exceptional person, Rav Nassim Tzvi, and he was also, certainly towards the end of his life, he was, he suffered greatly with, I'm not sure exactly Parkinson's disease, I think it was. I just remember very clearly, so we brought these boys to meet him, and, you know, he was American, he spoke English, and, you know, he was able to relate to them a little bit. And I just remember he kept repeating this, he was trying to talk to these high school boys and trying to get them excited about learning Torah. And he said, he just kept quoting this pasuk of Metukim Midvash V'Nofet Sufim. He said, it's as sweet as sugar. It's like a drop of honey on your tongue. That's what Torah is. He just kept saying that over and over and over again. Perhaps based on this pasuk also, there used to be a beautiful minhag, which my children's school actually follows in a certain sense. They used to, when they would teach little children to read the alphabet, right? They would take the letters of the alphabet and on a piece of paper, saying, and put the honey and let the kids lick the honey off it. In my children's school, they basically follow that, although they've updated it from honey to chocolate spread. But it's the same concept. And they make them a little cake or something. They put the letters and they teach the kids that the words of Torah are mitukim midvash v'nofet sufim.
Wait, did the boys like going on
They enjoy. I mean, this was over 10 years ago. I think it made an impression, at least on some of them.
So cute.
Yeah. Okay. So far we have one poem that was from Pasuk Bet to Pasuk Chet and talked about nature and the sun. Then we have these from Pasuk Chet through Yud Aleph. We have this thing about the Torah, and then we have another piece which maybe you could look at as the second half of the second half, or maybe these last two psukim are something completely different. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem, b'shamram ekev rav, shgiot mi yavin, ministerot nakeni, gam mizedim chasoch avdecha al yim shalubi, az etam v'niketi mipesha rav. And let's leave the last pasuk out for a minute. We'll see whether that last pasuk belongs with this or it should stand by itself. But let's look at those three psukim. What do they mean? Let's start with this. Gam avdecha nizahar bahem. What does that mean?
Servant should care
for them. Also, gam avdecha.
Your
servant. Who is he talking to?
The Torah.
Well, who is he talking to when he says avdecha? He's talking to Hashem. And when he says avdecha, he's referring to himself. Right? He's talking about himself in the third person. Avdecha means I. Right? I, therefore, nizhar bahem.
Careful with them.
Will be careful bahem with them.
Your mitzvah.
With those things that we just talked about. So this is not exactly an independent part. This is the second half of the second half, right? We talked about the Torah is so great. Look what the Torah can do, right? It's mishivat nafesh, it's mi'irat einayim, it's machkimat peti, right? And therefore, gam avdecha nizhar bahem. I'm going to be really careful about these things. Bishomram Ekev Rav. That's a difficult expression. I asked you to look, I think, at Rashi, right? What's Ekev Rav? The word Ekev in the rest of the Torah doesn't mean this. The word Ekev as in Vahaya Ekev Tishmirun. Ekev usually means because of. But that totally makes no sense in this context. What does Rashi say the word Ekev means? Reward. It means reward. And Rav Samet here points out it's the only place in Tanakh that has that, and he found an Arabic word that is ukba in Arabic, means the same thing. I don't know. So, Bishomram Ekev Rav means what? By keeping them, there is
great reward.
So put the sentence together now. We just said, Torah Hashem Tamima, Eidot Hashem Neman, etc. Gam Avdechan is high Bahem. Therefore, I will also be careful to keep these mitzvot, because Bishomram, when I keep them, Ekev Rav, there is going to be great reward. So therefore, it is certainly valuable for me to keep these mitzvot, and therefore I'm going to be very careful about these mitzvot.
Is he saying that's why he's keeping it? Is that what
the... So that sounds a little bit off, right?
Yeah.
Okay, remember that also. We'll get back to that also. Right? We just talked about how wonderful the Torah is, and it's more precious than gold, and it's sweeter than honey, and I'm going to keep it because I get reward. Sounds like a little bit, right? Okay, so we'll come back to that point also. Now, Shgiot mi yavin mi nistarot nakein. Shgiot mi yavin mi nistarot nakein. Who can understand mistakes? Cleanse me from hidden things. What does that mean?
Because you can't understand.
So what are we talking about here? Let's go on to the next pasuk. Maybe we can put it there. Gam mi zeidim chasoch avdecha. What is zeidim?
Intentional.
Well, okay. The word zeid. I showed you machlok in mefarshim. The word zeidim in most of the Tanakh, when it's used most of the time, or how about the way we use it in our Shmon Esrei? Shover oivim umachnia zeidim.
The forces that form the force to do like
people. No, do
right. Normally zeidim means evil people. It's what halachic term is related to the word zeidim?
Mezid,
right? A mezid is someone who does things on purpose. The word zeidim usually means people who are intentionally evil, right? Shavero ivim machnia zeidim. But and in fact, that is how one of the mafarshim I ask you to look at. I think the Radak, right? That's how the Radak understands the word gam zeidim here, or the Malbim also. You know, he saved me from evil people. Rashi understands it differently. What does Zeidim mean according to Rashi? Rashi says Zeidim means Zdonot. Right? Now put that back into... So now go back to previous pasuk. Shgiot mi yavim mi nistarot nakeini gam mi Zeidim chasol chavdecha al yim shalubi. Help me, save me from what? From doing sins in what way? Well, this pasuk is on purpose. The previous pasuk, therefore, means help me, right? Help me, please, avoid sinning unintentionally. Mishgiot uministarot. I think it's the Malbim who tries to say that what we call b'shogeg, right? You do something wrong b'shogeg, that means you do it wrong by mistake. But there are two different types of shogeg. If I do something wrong b'shogeg, right? There's a piece of meat that's not kosher and I eat it. There are two different types of mistakes that could lead to that. What are they?
You didn't know.
I don't know what.
You didn't know which one was kosher.
Either I didn't know the halacha. I didn't know that this is aser,
or I didn't realize
what this food is that I'm eating. Right. So I think the Malbin tries to say that's in between shgiot and nistarot. Shgiot are mistakes. Like I know that this is prohibited, but I don't realize what I'm doing. And nistarot are I know what I'm doing, but I don't even know the law. Or maybe it's the opposite, whatever. So he takes that pasuk as two different types of unintentional sins. And then, gam mizeidim, if you read it Rashi's way, also from intentional sins, chasoch avdecha. What's chasoch? Save me. Save me. He's talking to Hashem, right? This is a tefillah. Right? He says to Hashem, gam avdecha nizhar bahem. I'm going to be careful about these mitzvot.
Why is he asking for help?
Okay, hold on. Excellent. Good. We're going to try to figure that out. Let's first where it is. And then we have the following. So, Shgiot mi yavim mi nistarot nakeini. Save me from all of these unintentional types of mistakes. I want to keep the Torah. So, save me from sinning unintentionally. Gam mi zeidim chazo chavdecha al yim shalubi. Also, help me, save me from my own yetzer hara. Save me from doing things intentionally. That's an interesting expression, right? I'm asking Hashem to help me not... I understand I might need help to avoid mistakes. Right? I understand I can turn to Hashem and say, help me not make any mistakes. Make sure I don't do anything b'shogeg. It's a little interesting to ask Hashem, help me not to do anything to Maisie. Help me not intentionally, right? You should be able to control your intentions, right? But the expression al yim shalubi, let not the desire for doing things wrong overcome me. Help me in my own battles with my own self, with my own yetzer hara. Az etam. That's also a hard word. Etam. Like the word tamim. Let me become, then I will become pure or wholesome. Viniketi, and I will be clean, me cleanse, me pesharav. What's a pesha?
Sin.
A sin. Pesha is often considered worse than mezid. Right? Pesha is when you sin rebelliously. Right? So there's like a progression here. Help me not make any mistakes. Shgiot mi avim ministarot nakeni. Gam mizedim. From and also save me from intentionally sinning because I have a yetzer hara, and then also that will make sure that I don't go ahead and actively rebel against you. V'niketi mi pesharav. So now we see that the two halves of the second part of this zemer mizmor can also go together, right? We have this praise for the Torah. The Torah is such an incredible thing. Torah Hashem Tzmima, Eidut Hashem Ne'amana, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim, and what does it do for us? It's Miratinai, Machkim HaPetzi, Mesam Chilev. Therefore, realizing how great the Torah is, I say, Ne'er Nechem Adim Yizahav, Mipaz Rav, Mitukim Yidvash, Ve'nofet Tzuvim. So I turn to Hashem and I say, I'm committed to this. Gam Avdecha Nizhar Bahem. I'm committed to this. I want to do this. I want to keep the Torah because b'shamram ekev rav, and we have to still deal with Elisheva's question about that. So I need help. I realize how precious the Torah is and how valuable the Torah is, and I want to keep the Torah, but I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to do it without help. So help me. Help me not make mistakes. Help me not become evil. Help me not become rebellious. Okay, so this is a tefillah. Okay, so now we have two Mizmorim Kilu, right? We have one that talks about nature, and one, right? So last class we had two Mizmorim that were really one. It almost looks like this is one Mizmor that's really two. And in fact, Rav Samet points out here that some of the modern Bible scholars claim that this is really two unrelated Mizmorim that somehow got stuck together by mistake or something. But he shows that that's not correct. He shows that there's a lot of links between the two halves. And then it's very clear that this was written as one mizmor, and therefore, to really get the power of this, we have to understand what's the link between those two halves. So I want to share with you two possibilities. The first one, you have here in the Perush that I put on the page here from the Rid, Rabbi Yishai Mitrani. Anyone know who he was, by the way? 13th century Rishon from Italy. He wrote a lot, Rabbi Yishai Ditrani, often known as Rid. The city of Trani is a city in Italy. There was a whole family of a number of generations of scholars from that town, and the eldest of them was Rabbi Shaya Ditrani. So he has a perush on various parts of Nach, including Tehillim. He goes ahead and draws a connection between basically the four sections we just saw. Right? We divided this mizmor into two, and then each of the two into two. Right? So first we had the part about nature, which starts with the Shamayim Nerakia, and then focuses on the sun. And then we have the part about Torah, which starts with the Torah itself and then moves into a tefillah. Right? So how does the Rid in this short ketzah that I gave you, how does he connect those four pieces? Did you get to read it?
Yes.
So let's read it together and you tell me what he says, okay? I'll read it and you tell me what it means. Torat Hashem Tmima. He's talking here at the point where we switch from the first half to the second. He says, Ad Ata, until now, Diber Al Malo Tashemesh. ועכשיו מדבר על מעלת התורה. ומה שהתחיל המשורר, השמיים מספרים כבוד כל, כל זה היה סיבה לספר מעלת השמש. וסיפור מעלת השמש היא סיבה לספר מעלת התורה. וסיפור מעלת התורה היא סיבה לומר גם עבדך נזהר בהם וגומר, מנסתרות ונקני וגומר. So how does he understand the link between the various parts? Right. It's like a line. Each one leads to the other. It's like a line of associations. Right? I start by looking up at the sky. And I say, wow. You know, you look at the sky, Hashamayim misafrim kvodel. Okay, when I look at the sky, I focus specifically on the most dominant aspect of the sky, that's the sun. And when I speak about the sun, it leads me to speak about the Torah. Well, maybe we should talk about that for a second. How does talking about the sun make me speak about the Torah? In question 7, I asked you to look at Rashi Mitzudat David. Where do you see a link between the sun and the Torah? Yeah?
The sun, like, there's, like, good parts to the sun and there's bad parts to it. Like, it's not totally perfect. It's saying, like, you know, it's this good thing that goes across the sky, but, like, that the heat can be damaging and whatever, but that Torah and is, like, the only thing out there that's really, truly perfect.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, on that idea, like, the contrast between the Ein Yisrael Mishamato and then Torah Hashem Temira, like...
Right. Okay, so first of all, right, there's a parallel between the sun and the Torah both light things up. Most specifically, the expression "Mi'irat Einayim," right? The sun lights up the world, and Mitzvat Hashem bara Mi'irat Einayim. And at least the way, right? And Adina asked, "Why are we saying something negative about the sun? Everything has been now until positive." So again, I told you, Rav Samet doesn't like that, and he tries to explain it also as a positive image. And if you do it that way, so the sun is positive, and the Torah is positive, and they're sort of parallel to each other. The way the Mitzudat David and also Rashi even reads it is. The sun is beautiful and great, but the sun has its limits, right? The sun lights up the world, but sometimes the sun can also do damage, right? The sun can cause heat, the sun can also burn you. The sun can lighten things up so you can see, but you can also be blinded by the sun, right? Torah, though, is only good. The Torah heat lights things up and doesn't cause blindness, and the Torah warms but doesn't burn. So the Torah is even better than the sun. Okay, so let's use that image for now, and go back to the Perush of the Reed. So I have this four-step process. I start by looking up at the sky, and saying, wow, the whole world proclaims God's glory. That causes me to focus specifically on the sun. Say, the sun is, you know, the most powerful thing in the sky, and the sun lights up the whole world. The ancient people worshipped the sun, because they mistakenly thought that the sun was God. I know that the sun is created by God, and therefore it's his star player, and he is the... And he runs from one side of the world enthusiastically, lights up the whole world in the process. But there's something even greater than the sun, because the sun lights up the world and illuminates the world and brings life, but the sun can also cause pain and suffering and death. So there's just one second. So there's something else that Hashem created that's even greater than the sun, that tells of His glory even more, and that is what? The Torah. The Torah is Tmima. The Torah is perfect. The Torah is Tehora. It's Yesharim. It's Adku Yachdav. And that then leads me to say, wow, if the Torah is so valuable, then I have to devote my life to Torah. And I ask Hashem, help me. Not when we say devote my life to Torah here, it's not so much the way Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel was talking about. He was talking about learning Torah. But the Meshorer here focuses not so much on learning Torah, although that's obviously a prerequisite, but on following the Torah, keeping the mitzvot. Right? So the Torah is so perfect, so I ask Hashem, please help me. Now, B'shamram Ekev Rav Elisheva bothered you, and I'll get back to what bothered you about it, but if I wanted it to stop bothering you, I could simply point out that it sounded like it's almost a contradiction, right? Because it says, HaNechemadim Yizahav Metukim Midvash V'Nofet Sufim. So why am I looking for a reward? The Torah should be its reward itself, unless that's exactly what it means. Chazal say, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Right? One way to read, I'm not negating your reading because we'll get to it in a second, but one way to read that is simply, B'shamram Ekev Rav. There's so much value in keeping them because they are their own reward. Right? The Torah is, right? So if I read it that way, then it flows. Right? And therefore, if you read it the way the Rid reads it, this is very beautiful progression. And it's not two unrelated things. It's two halves. And each half has two halves. But it's a four-step process. Contemplating nature leads me to focus on the sun. Focusing on the sun becomes a metaphor for the Torah, which is even greater than the sun. Focusing on the greatness of Torah causes me to have this tefillah, to ask Hashem for help in observing the Torah, and therefore my experiential reality of looking at this world and being awed by nature leads in a direct linear progression to a form of tefillah and self-improvement, and that's, you know, that's the way this thing maps out according to the Rid. Yes, Racheli.
I feel like this concept between sun and Torah is a strong case because we have, I mean, I feel like I've learned in the past that there's a,
there's a way to take Torah in the positive and there's dangers also in, like...
I mean, Torah itself can be dangerous.
Exactly. And it could be also, like, for example, how? For example, like, the Gemara talks about women learning is, could be
okay. That's an interesting point. Do you see any reference to that here in the Mizmor? Okay, so listen. It's a very interesting thing you're saying. Listen, if the brightness of this, it's worth investigating. Meaning, then what we could do is we could have perhaps another layer. The Mitzudat David looked at the sun and said the sun's positive, but it has a negative side, and the Torah is even greater because it doesn't have a negative side. Maybe there's another way to read it and saying that the Torah is like the sun, in the sense that it can burn if you get to, there are definitely images like that, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, correct? Right?
I was going to say, you're saying it doesn't burn, like, unless you're Rabbi Shimon.
Right. No, and also the expression in the Mishnah and Avot, right? Get close to the Chachamim, but not too close because they'll burn you, right? So
that could also possibly make sense because then it leads to you davening to Hashem saying.
Okay, certainly violating the Torah. Right, very good. All right, or like we talked about here when we talked about Peretz Uzzah, right? And the images of that, which was part of the whole procession of events that led to what might be the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. So it would be interesting if we could find remnants of that in here. If so, then we have yet another possible interpretation. If not, then the Meshorah of this Mizmor is deliberately not looking at that side of it. And you know, but what you're saying is certainly true. Okay, yeah.
I just want to say something about it's not the Torah that's dangerous, it's us that make it dangerous, meaning we misinterpret it and take
right.
things out of it. It's us, it's not the Torah.
Okay, so if you look at it that way, so then that fits in exactly. No, the Torah is perfect, but I need a tefillah here.
Right.
Because I'm going to mess up.
Right.
Okay, different. The other possibility, Rav Samet suggests a different way of reading it, different than the Rid. The Rid went through a 4-step process. 1, 2, 3, 4. He says, look at this as a parallel. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, but 1, 2, and opposite those, 1, 2. And how does that work? Well, first of all, remember I told you to remember a word?
Bahem.
Lashemesh sam ohel bahem. The word bahem appears one other time in the Mizmor. Where?
Nizhar.
Gam avdecha nizhar bahem. Now, if we had our four sections here, right? Do I have a marker? Yes. Okay. Section 1 aleph is teva, 1 bet is shemesh, 2 aleph is Torah, and 2 bet, who's being referred to in the last part? Adam. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem, right? The shemesh, ohel bahem. And Adam, Nizhar, Bahem. Right? Hashamayim Misaprim, Kivorel, Torat Hashem Tmima. Hashem created these two things. He created nature, and He created Torah. Both of them were created not for their own sake, but to provide for the star player to step into them. Hashamayim is Saprim Kivod El. How? Not because the Shamayim speaks. The Shamayim speaks not through itself, but through, and now we're going to read it a little differently than Rashi read it, not through people, but through the sun. The Shamayim is Saprim Kivod El, not by what it does, but because Sam Ohel Bahem. Bahem in the Shamayim, Hashem created a form for the sun, and the sun is what really is Mesaper Kvod El. V'hu kechatan yotzei michupato yasis kegibor. Torah also has all these wonderful qualities. Tmima, Yishara, Mesam Chilev, v'chulei. Gam Avdechan is har bahem. And now if the Torah is parallel to Teva, right, then the sun becomes a metaphor for me. I don't want to be like the sun. What does the sun do? V'hu kechatan yotzei mechupato yasis ki gibor larutz orach. He comes out every single day filled with enthusiasm to do what? The saper kvod el. And how does he do it? By fulfilling his mission. His mission is to light up the world. And he comes out every morning filled with enthusiasm and happiness and excitement, and his excitement is infectious. Ein nistar mechamato. And now let's read it only in the positive. Like Rosanna does. Only in the positive. The son's enthusiasm is so great that nobody can fail to be warmed and enlightened and excited by the son. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem. Just like the world is an arena and a forum for the son to fulfill God's will, I want to do the same thing. I'm going to be the star player in the arena called Torah. The sun operates in the sky, and I operate in the world of Torah. So I am going to do the same thing, and I'm going to light up the world with the power of Torah. The Torah is Mirat Einayim. The Torah is Mesam Chelev. The Torah is Machkim Apeti. If I fulfill the Torah, then I'll positively affect the entire world, just like the sun positively affects the entire world. But this, so now it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, it's 1, 2, 1, 2, right? It's not that this leads to this, which leads to this, which leads to this, but rather, it's like, they still have those on the SATs, they got rid of them, right? The analogies?
Yeah.
A is to B, like C is to D, whatever. As the sun is to the Teva, the Adam is to the Torah. And the word Bahem becomes that link.
Oh, yeah.
But the analogy is not perfect. The analogy breaks down. You know why? Because the sun never fails to do its mission. Yom li yom yabia omer, v'layla l'layla yichavedat. The sun, every single day, with the same enthusiasm, day in, day out, nothing changes. But I am human. I can make mistakes. Shgiot nistarot. I can even be a mezid. I can even be a poshea. I can err. I can rebel. I don't trust myself. And sometimes I don't have pure motives, Elisheva. Sometimes it's not enough to tell me that the Torah is mitukim midvash v'nofet sufim and nechmadim izav mipazrav. Sometimes all I'm thinking about is ekev rav. Right? And therefore, on the one hand, my aim, my goal is to be like the sun, but it needs a tefillah. Because I realize that the sun is perfect, and I'm not. And therefore, the tefillah is that I should be able to live up to the image of v'hu kichatan yotzei mizkupato yasis kigibor. And therefore, I need your help, Hashem. So, shgiot minavin, minestarot minakeini, cleanse me from mistakes and from lack of understanding. Gami zeidim chasoch avdecha, save me from being willful. V'niketi mipesharav, so that I can fulfill this mission. Yulu ratzonim repi, v'hagyol mibi lefanecha, Hashem tzuri v'goli. What I think you see from this, by the way, before I started learning Tehillim, you know, some people really enjoy saying Tehillim. You know, you see these people like on the buses, whatever. And I always found it difficult because like it all sounds the same. It's just like lots of praises. When you start actually learning them, you realize that each mizmor has totally different themes and totally different messages. And the more you learn about them, the more you can use them in their appropriate way. Okay, so as I said, on Monday, Bezrat Hashem, we're going to do Kuf Zayin. Kuf Zayin is a longer one. It's going to take longer, so please come on time so we can prepare. And then, as I said, Kuf Zayin is a preparation for being able to daven properly on Yom Yerushalayim. So.